Introduction. How about we read the title together of this overall burden? Amen. Aspects. The title of this this book of the conference. Ready? Aspects of the Christian life and church life seen in the New Jerusalem. Okay. So I just want to introduce this topic in this way. We see this matter of New Jerusalem in Revelation, right? And so for the sake of the younger ones and the newer ones, New Jerusalem is not a physical entity. Actually, if you look in Revelation, the whole book of Revelation is a book of signs. And maybe we should turn to that. Revelation, how about we read Revelation 1:1 all together? That way we could all be on the same page.
Oh Lord, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Ready? Do we all have it? We'll be 1:1 and then 1:2. Okay. All together. 1, 2, 3.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his slaves the things that must quickly take place. And he made it known by signs, sending it by his angel to his slave John, who testified the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, even all that he saw.
Okay, so it's important to understand that when we talk about Revelation, and I think a lot of people have different concepts about what the book of Revelation is about, it's important to see that it is a book of signs. And that actually, this book is entitled Revelation. What is it revealing? Well, it's very clear from the verse. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if I asked you, what is Revelation about, you would answer...
A revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen! Amen. That's right. So it's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not just the individual person of Jesus Christ, actually, but we'll see that it's a revelation of even the corporate Christ. Okay. And so, but the Lord revealed to his slave John by signs.
Amen.
So that's why you see all the different signs in the book of Revelation. Right, you have the sign of the tree of life. You have the sign of the river of water of life. You have the even the city. You have certain dimensions, right? And then you get into it, and you know there's the figure of the dragon, the Antichrist, something with seven eyes. Don't get physical, right? It's not a physical thing, right? We're not talking about physical things, but it's a revelation concerning Christ, actually Jesus Christ, and the things that are to come in the final age. Okay, so I just want to say that much regarding the book of Revelation. So this topic during this ITERO conference was on the aspects of the Christian life and the church life seen in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And so maybe we could turn to, I want to read all the different contents. So, can we turn to the table of contents? This is Roman numeral small 3. So maybe we could just read all the different aspects, okay, of the Christian life and the church life in the New Jerusalem. Okay, it's all the points in bold, right? Okay. So how about let's alternate. Brothers, we'll do week 1, and then sisters, week 2. Okay. Ready, brothers? The throne of God and of the Lamb, the river of water of life, and the tree of life. Sisters.
The city and the bride.
Brothers.
The pearl gates and the golden street.
Sisters.
The fellowship of life.
Amen. Brothers. The intrinsic significance of the name New Jerusalem and the dimensions of the holy city. Sisters.
The Lamb as the Lamb with God as the light.
Amen, brothers. The triune God as our constitution, existence, enjoyment, living, and expression. And then sisters.
I bring the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, this is not all the aspects of the New Jerusalem, but it was just some of the aspects.
Amen.
And for the next 8 weeks or 7 weeks, we're going to get into the different aspects of our Christian life.
Amen.
Which means that all the different signs concerning the New Jerusalem is something very practical. It's something that is that we can experience today. And so that's what I want to first emphasize. You know, when we talk, sometimes when we share about the New Jerusalem, we have the idea or the thought that, oh, that's something in the future. That's something for eternity future.
Yeah.
But actually, all the various aspects of the New Jerusalem is for the believers' experience today.
Amen.
It's for the churches to get into today.
Amen.
Okay, so let's get into this week. I'm just going to share some of the main burdens, and then we'll open it up for everybody. I like to read Roman numeral 1. Maybe we could read that all together. Here, I have another copy. So, okay, ready? So let's read Roman numeral 1.
Every believer should be a little New Jerusalem. And every local church should be a minister of the New Jerusalem, the great God-man with Christ as a centrality and universality.
Okay, the brother giving this message commented that this is the burden. This is the key burden, actually, of the entire conference, right? So, what does that mean? That means we all need to realize, right? Like, for example, this week is on the throne of God and of the Lamb, right? We need, as believers, we need to have the throne of God and the Lamb. We need to have the throne in our living.
Amen.
Not as something that is for the future, but
right.
Every believer, we need to have the attribute of the throne of God.
Amen.
What does that mean? I appreciated in the outline here, if you go under, sorry, I'm going to jump to Roman 2, under the last point, number 5, I'll just read it to you. This is a little prayer that Brother Lee prayed. He said, every morning after rising up, we need to say, Lord, thank you for a new day for me to take you as my Lord.
Amen.
I subject myself under your headship for the whole day. Lord, set up your throne in my life. Set up your throne in the center of my being. Lord, bring my whole day with my daily life under your throne. I try to practice this week. You know, when we wake up in the morning, what do we do? What are your thoughts? Oh, I got to get up for school. Oh, I just want to sleep for another 5 minutes. But actually, when we wake up in the morning, it's good to contact the Lord, right? And sometimes, you know, it's good to, not sometimes, actually all the time, we need to tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you, right? But not only that, but even the matter of asking the Lord to set up his throne in my being.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Right.
Have you considered that? What does that mean? Okay, the throne of God is the center of his administration, right? It's like the White House of the United States. It's where all the policy, all the decisions, they are made, right? So in the same way, in our personal life, right, who is on the throne? Where is the throne, right? Is it you? Do you make all the decisions? Do you call all the shots? Or do we let the Lord Jesus,
right,
decide things in our life,
right?
And so this is very important. When we wake up in the morning, we need to call Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Actually, brothers and sisters, even that name, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I appreciated this in a fresh way. You know, when we call Lord Jesus,
right,
you know what you're actually saying? You're saying Jesus is Lord, meaning that Lord, be my Lord, right? Jesus, you're my Lord. What does it mean to take God as your Lord? That means, Lord, I want you to have the way in me, right? When I make decisions, I don't want to make it on my own, right? When I'm thinking of whether I should do this or that, say this or that, Lord, Lord Jesus, be my Lord, right? So this is something very practical. If this is our reality, then as a believer, we will have the throne of God, right? Okay, so in this week also, it talks about the river of water of life. Actually, from Revelation, how about we read Revelation 22, 1 and 2. These are the verses for this week. Amen. Ready? All together. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of his street. And on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Amen. So actually, we see from these verses that there is a river of water of life. And, you know, we always enjoy this fact that, you know, Christ is the river of water of life. But do we see or do we realize that this river proceeds out of something? What is that? The throne. So the river is connected to the throne.
Yeah.
So practically, what does that mean? That means if we don't have the Lord as a throne in our being, actually, we can't really experience and enjoy the river water of life. In other words, if we don't obey the one who is on the throne, then the flow will stop. And now, it's time to check with your own experience. Right, my experience, I have many, many experiences of this. Right, the Lord speaks to me, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to ignore that feeling.
Right.
And what happens? The flow stops.
Wow.
Is that your experience?
Yeah.
Right, young people, when your parents sometimes say something to you, maybe there's a little misunderstanding, and you want to say something back, but then you have a feeling within you, maybe I shouldn't say that, but you ignore that feeling and you still open your mouth and say something.
Yeah.
Do you feel good after that? Is the flow still going on? Maybe it's right after the young people's meeting. You're in the flow. You're drinking. Drink a river. You're in flow. That's flowing from the... Okay. And then on a car ride back home, that happens.
Oh, Lord.
Why? Well, it's because the verses show us the river is connected to the throne,
mm-hmm.
right? Not just the young people, all of us,
wow.
right? You know, many times I have this experience, just, you know, when I'm just in front of the computer, right? And there's a little something, there's a little speaking, telling me, Shepherd, maybe it's time to just stop and go to sleep. But, you know, I'm like, oh, no, Lord, I just, you know, 10 more minutes, I got to really do this. I want to, anyways, I won't tell you what I want to do. And then what happens? The flow is no longer there. Okay, but on the positive side, when we do take heed, right, to that speaking, when we do obey the throne, what do we experience? Oh,
more
the flow. More flow,
amen.
Yes. And I also have experiences of this, right? When we say amen to the Lord Jesus, right, the flow is there, right? Okay, so this is something very practical, I think, in our daily living.
Yeah.
And then the other point in this week is the matter of the tree of life. And because of time, I won't get into it. But we see that on this side and on that side of the river is the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And actually we see, there's a particular example that was brought up this week about the Canaanite woman,
yeah.
right? When she came to the Lord Jesus, right? As the crumbs that fell off the table. Actually, her unique need in that situation is to partake of the Lord as the crumbs that fell off the table, right? And when she believed, right? Actually, it says right in the word that when she believed, right, then her daughter was saved at that moment, right? And so, actually, many of our situations today, we might have different problems, but I appreciate it, and this was brought out from the reading, that our unique need is to eat the Lord Jesus, right? Not so much to pray to the Lord, oh, Lord, fix this, oh, Lord, do this for me, or do that, but actually, when we come to the bottom of it, actually, we need to eat the Lord Jesus,
amen.
Right? Okay, so I'll end there, and then maybe we'll open this up to all the saints to share from this past week or of any experiences you had in any of your journey. Okay? Amen.
Amen.
Impressed by the matter of the throne this week. So I came across three thrones throughout the week. One of them was in Daniel, which is Daniel 7, and it's the prophecy of like all the nations, and then they get judged, and it's the throne, and there's actually a river of fire flowing out of it. So this is the throne of judgment. But then also we were, throughout the week, we were talking about what grace is as revealed in the New Testament. And so in Hebrews 7:14, and actually in the Morning Your Bible material, there's the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. And also in Revelation 22, actually in other places in Revelation, but there's the throne of God and of the Lamb. And proceeding out of it is the river of water. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure exactly what to speak. I was just really impressed that I think I was freshly reminded that I am a rebel, and that in my nature there is nothing but rebellion, and I don't really want to submit to the throne. And so I was just, there's a book by Watchman Nee called Authority and Submission. He said the two principal matters in the Christian life are faith and believing and obedience. And so, just like I was just, oh, Lord Jesus. It's like when we come back to the throne, we're coming back under the Lord's head. Because it's so easy to be going on in our daily lives, and it's just like we don't have the Lord's presence. We don't have the flowing of life. We don't have the reality. We're not enjoying the Lord. And, a lot of I just realized, for me, like this week, a lot of times I was struggling, and it's because I was not willing to come under the Lord's headship. And so that's why I was also really greatly enjoyed that. I think it's in day 2 or 3, but in Hebrews, we have a high priest who's, when we come forward to the throne of grace, it's because we have a high priest who's touched with the feeling of our weakness. And so we can come to receive. Actually, I was just, Lord, I need your mercy because I'm not always willing to come under the throne. Mm-hmm. And so we even need the Lord's mercy for this. But praise the Lord, we can always come to the throne. We can receive mercy and find grace.
Amen.
And then what happens when we come to the throne and we're willing to be subjected, there's just the flow of life. There's the flow of the rivers of water of life. Amen. So, anyway, I was just really freshly impressed this week.
Amen. Well, I enjoyed the aspect of the Canaanite woman, the brother, when he shared about this woman. You realize she came to him for a particular reason, right? So when she came to the Lord, first she realized he was Lord. That was the first step. A lot of times we might even come to the Lord, just be like asking for something, not even recognize that he's the Lord and he's the one on the throne. And while I was thinking about this aspect of coming to him as Lord, I have this t-shirt. I remember I got it It was like some trendy t-shirt in high school, and then I got home, and I was like, oh, I got this sweet t-shirt, and it had a throne on it. And my grandmother, as soon as I put it on, my grandmother was like, what's this? Are you the one on this throne? I'm like, oh my gosh, just leave me alone. But she's like, that's a good shirt. Every time you wear that, it should remind you who's on the throne. Are you on the throne, or is the Lord on the throne?
Wow.
So I just appreciated, you know, this Canaanite woman, right? She came straight to the Lord and said, Lord, right? And she asked the Lord, and she was, you know, she wanted like a particular thing. But how did the Lord respond, right? He said, you talk about bread, right?
Yeah.
And then she recognized, I'm just a Gentile dog. That's what we are. We're the Gentiles, right? I don't think any of us are Jewish in here, right? We are all dogs, right? In the eyes of the Jewish people. But, you know, and she said, even the crumbs. We even need to eat the crumbs. And the Lord, you know, responded to her, that's right. The crumbs. She realized that's really what she needed. The Lord didn't come to her and say, oh, I'm going to fix your problem. He actually came to her and just said, I'm going to feed you.
Amen.
And that's how our Lord rules us in the day six, Roman, under one of the Roman numerals, number four. He says, he rules over his people by feeding them with himself as bread.
Amen.
We can be the proper people in his kingdom only by being nourished with him as our food. I just found that really precious that our Lord, he rules us over by nourishing, feeding us, and having us enjoy him. Most rulers, you know, they come under with a rod, right? Judgment. You know, I've been hearing a lot in Afghanistan right now. There's been a lot of elections, right? And they're trying to rule a new leader, and the Taliban are doing all these horrible things. That's how most people rule. They rule by doing horrible things to the people to keep them suppressed. But our God, he just feeds us.
Amen.
He just wants us to enjoy him. And that's how our wonderful God is. That's how we're ruled by him. We don't do it out of fear. We're under him because we love him and we've actually enjoyed him.
Amen.
Okay, so today I started the book of Leviticus.
Amen.
So yesterday I finished Exodus. And there were two footnotes, one yesterday and one today, that really touched me. So Genesis is God's creation and man's fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Exodus is a picture of salvation.
Yeah.
And then finally, and then Leviticus is our living out of a proper life. And so this is a progression of God's our salvation.
Right.
So before I didn't really know what Leviticus was,
mm-hmm.
but this applies very much to us today,
mm-hmm.
because that is our life.
Amen.
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 Something I enjoyed, or more like a feeling I had.
Mm-hmm.
So normally my mom drives me wherever I go, and because I used to live in Edison, so and when we moved to Piscataway, I kept all the same activities going, so we just had to drive farther to get there, so like viola lessons, whatever. And then so it was always like half an hour to 20 minutes to get there, and then whenever we were driving, my mom would always put on like a hymn CD, It was very enjoyable to listen to it. But then this past week, something happened to the, what do you call it?
CD player?
No, not just the CD player, like the whole
audio
system thing. And then when we were driving there, I felt a really weird lack of absence. I was like, what is this? Something feels weird. I'm like, oh, the CD's not playing. So I'm like, oh, Mom, can you turn on the CD? She's like, oh, sorry, Ethan, it's not working. I'm like, what? Why? And then so I thought since my mom normally isn't that good with technology sometimes, so I thought, oh, she must have done something wrong. So I tried to fix it, but then nothing worked. I was like, what's happening? And then I just realized that I really enjoyed the hymn singing and that.
Hey,
Mom.
Amen. This morning I've really been enjoying the matter of the tree of life.
Amen.
And actually, with the tree of life, it's just Christ, right? And we just need to come to the tree of life to enjoy Christ. And actually, right, this is God's plan for us in the very beginning, right? To come to the tree of life to enjoy Him. And unfortunately, right, men sinned, and then right, the right to the tree of life was cut off. But right now, but then Christ died for us and then redeemed us, and now we have right to the tree of life again.
Amen.
And actually, I'm really enjoying that. Actually, for eternity, right, we're going to be enjoying Christ as a tree of life for eternity.
Amen.
And so that means we need to start enjoying Christ as a tree of life right now, right? Because if we can't enjoy Christ as a tree of life right now, then there's going to be problems for eternity, right? Then what are we going to do? Like, if we can't enjoy Him right now, then it's just going to be a whole mess in eternity, right? Like, Christ is our enjoyment in eternity, right? And that should really, really make us excited. But unfortunately, right now, it might not make us that excited. Right, because in day 5, right, it says that actually the more we enjoy Him, right, the richer He is. And to enjoy Christ actually requires us to love Him, right, as our first love. That means we need to give Christ the preeminence, right? He needs to be our first love. But there's so many things in the world that a lot of times that we might enjoy more than Christ, or we might put before Christ, right? And actually, John earlier, right, he was talking about the NBA championship. Honestly, like, I don't care too much about basketball. Like, I can drop basketball pretty easily. I can drop baseball pretty easily. I can drop football pretty easily. The only thing I can't drop is soccer. Like, especially right now with the World Cup on, like, every day, like for the entire day. It's just like, since Thursday, I've been like watching the World Cup nonstop. Like, every time I'm home, that's like, I just have the TV on watching the World Cup. The only time I'm not watching is when I'm like in the car, or like yesterday, like at the meeting hall. It's like the only time I'm not watching. So yesterday, I was watching soccer all day. Like, I went to my sister's game. As soon as that was over, I came back home and watched 2 more games of soccer. And, like, I don't know, like, actually, like, to be honest, right, this morning, my dad asked me if I prepared, and I didn't prepare anything, because I was actually so busy watching the World Cup, I didn't have time to prepare. That's why I said this morning, right, I'm really enjoying the tree of life, right,
because,
right, there's so many things that, right, might get in the way. And if those things get in the way, right, then we can't enjoy the Lord as much, right? We can't enjoy the Lord as, right, as much as we want to. Like, we can't enjoy Christ as a tree of life if we're turning to something else for our enjoyment. And so we need to really pray, right, that, right, Christ, right, that Christ would be, right, our preeminence. That we would love, Christ with our first love. That He would, right, that He would surpass everything. And, right, it's a process, right? So you're not just going to magically love Christ more than anything, right? You have to spend time with Him. But, right, you just need to, like, if you really give your heart to the Lord, right, and you ask the Lord, Lord, I just really want to love You more every day. And, right, the Lord, if you're faithful, right, and if your heart is really for the Lord, right, then more and more each day, right, you will be able to love them more and more. I mean, because before, I used to, like, put everything, like, every single sport before the Lord. I watch baseball, basketball, football, like, all the time. But like, those are, like, I'm starting not to really like those that much. So praise the Lord for that. But, amen, I need to get rid of soccer, too.
I'm not that crazy about sports, but, you know, yesterday, when I got home, I saw that the TV is it's actually a Spanish channel. But, you know, like I usually don't watch TV. And I know that, you know, we don't have fancy cable program, so we pay $10 every month. That is it. But I asked them, I said, this is Spanish channel. And they said, but I still enjoy it because it's soccer, right? Anyway, now get back to this morning revival. When I got saved the first year, when I went to church, the topic was on Revelation. Mm. And, you know, for a whole year, I remember nothing but the New Jerusalem. However, I really don't know what they were talking about. Because, you know, I still remember, you know, they talk about the golden street, pearls, precious stones, all the material stuff. And I don't understand. Because I think that, you know, I'm not that kind of person that I want to wear gold or, you know, pearls. So if I leave some place that is, you know, all gold, pearls, and precious stones, I'm actually not that, you know, attracted by that. However, with the help of the brothers, we know that, you know, just like Shepherd shared, it is not a material city. And actually, this week, if you look at the, I believe it's the outline, the first sentence said that we should be a little Jerusalem, and our local church should be a miniature of the New Jerusalem. So actually think about, you know, like Ethan, you think about yourself, you should be like a New Jerusalem, right? And I should be like a New Jerusalem, although when we see ourselves, it's really not the case. But then I was really touched that, you know, this is a process. You know, now we live on earth, this is a process that actually, eventually we will become New Jerusalem. It's not a material thing, it's actually a corporate government, a great government. And I appreciate that the first thing it mentioned about is the throne. Well, and the river and the tree of life. John mentioned about the throne. Actually, I'm now First and Second Kings. So, you know, if you read the history, or if you even read the Bible, you know, when you think about the throne, you would think that it's about authority, the power, and politics, all kind of that stuff. But then this is different, because this throne is a throne of grace, is a throne of mercy, is a throne of love. So this past Monday, I read with Mary Lee, you know, we enjoyed Hebrews chapter 4:16. You know, we were talking about, well, we actually read it in the morning. And then we shared about, you know, our experience. We said that, you know, at work, there is nothing exciting about work. You know, you can think about 100 reasons to get you upset when you are at work or at school. But then we are all touched that we just need to come forward. We need to come forward to the Lord every day, just like Shepherd shared. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm weak, but I need to exercise my spirit to come forward. Come forward to the throne. And how do we come forward? I have to be honest with you. You know, when I am not reading the word, when I'm not listening to the Bible, I'm thinking about all the things. You know, work, children, you know, even the church service. So I think that the word really helps us to get into our spirit. That's why I think that I still have this strong burden that we really need to get into the word. Because there is no other way we can, well, yes, we can pray. But if we don't pray based on the word, then it's still, you know, vanity of vanity. We are so easily to be in our, you know, in our mind, in our natural being. So we really need the word to purify us and to help us come forward to the throne.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Actually, I encourage everybody to learn Spanish. You can help others and preach the gospel too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's not bad with, you know, doing sport like soccer or playing or watching. You know, I've been a soccer player all my life, but the Lord brought me to Him. See, His mercy, He saved me. And no matter what kind of sport, anything you do, you know, as long as you submit it to Him, He will help you. See, my son wanted to be a soccer player, but I told him, you know, if you don't do with the Lord, if you don't go with the Lord, I don't think you're going to be happy. You know, because many of these people might have a lot of money, but don't think they are in the world. They are really struggling in their life. They don't have a spiritual life, many of them. Some of them do have, right? But I always encourage them to look at the throne. I tell them, you know, the Lord is first. Right now, the world is celebrating, what is that, Father's Day, right, today?
Yeah.
And my father never really cared about it, right? We have a lot of fathers here, right? And I'm okay, my kids are good out and say,
oh, yeah,
Happy Father's Day.
It's First Father's Day.
Yeah, first Father's Day. It's not bad. Actually, it's not bad. It's not bad, you know. It's, you know, my kids get out, give me Father's Day, give me a shirt, a new shirt, got a new shirt for Father's Day. But it's we're so, actually, how can I say, so fortunate, because the people of Israel only knew the God as a creator. But we know God as our Father.
Amen.
That's the difference. See, we know the Father. I always tell my kids, we have a Father. See, they tell me Happy Father's Day. But I told my son, my daughter, we have to look at our Father, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
He's first, because no matter how much people celebrate the world with the Father's Day, we really have to see our Father, our Heavenly Father that is coming from the throne. You know, it's giving us life. That's what we have to see. And I told my son very clear, you know. I told him, if he does whatever he wants to do, he does it with the Lord, you're going to do it, you know. Otherwise, you're going to struggle. Everything you have to really realize that it's with the Lord that you can do the things.
Amen.
You know. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come, because we are in it already. We can't get out. See, we Christians, we believe we are in it already. If you want to get out to the world, you can't. Sooner or later, you're going to come back. Struggling, suffering, whatever. It happened to me. I learned it the hard way. You see? But sooner or later, you can't get out to the world. I know there's many Christians, especially everywhere in the world, many Christians that will go back to the world. I know many, many brothers that were with me when I started, they went back to the world. But this true struggling and suffering, they came back. You know, so that's why we have to pray. Because I really enjoy also this. I used to get up every morning. Yeah, I used to get up every morning and thank the Lord for giving me another day to live. And I used to tell that my kids, we should always tell the Lord, thank you for giving us another day to live. But when I came to read here where it says, every morning after rising up, we need to say, Lord, thank you for a new day for me to take you as my Lord. That really make me think, because I was thinking about me, you know. Thank you for letting me live another day so I can do whatever I want. But when I read this week and I look at this, you know, it make me change. We should get up and say, thank you, so we can have your life to express to others.
Amen.
You can listen to us. So now I'm changing my morning prayer every morning, and I hope my son and my do the same, you know. I pray for the Lord, you know, to always guard my son. You see, I don't like to push him and tell him this, because it doesn't work. I've seen in many denominations, with many brothers, I've been in denominations for about 10 years, and I've seen that too much pressure on the kids, the parents, right? At the end, they just don't care, won't have. But you see, you, I think you're one of the smartest cultures, you know. And Chinese, my daughter would say, Chinese are very smart, they get it right away. Yeah, I believe that, you know? That's true, in a way it's true. Yeah, but we have to see that, you know, we have to not only be able to express the Lord, but you young people, you probably have all the classmates that are not Chinese, right?
Yes.
Spanish, maybe all this, right?
Indian.
So Indian, a lot of Indians and New York, right?
English.
And you probably could express the Lord. They can see the Lord, and you can bring some of those Indian friends that you have. You know. So I always tell my kids that you have to spread the Lord where you are. So bring some friends to the Lord. Plant the seed. At least plant the seed.
Amen.
That will work. You plant the seed, it's okay. You spray with it, you might not shepherd them, but you plant the seed on those Indian, Spanish friends, or whoever you know you are with. Plant the seed, and you know the Lord will work.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So I really enjoyed the last paragraph of day two. It says, in our Christian experience, the unique item should be the throne of the one who purposed and of the one who redeemed. Such a throne must be set up in our entire being, and this should be the center of our Christian life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This means that we would accept God who purposed and Christ who redeemed us as our head, Lord, and authority. We should be willing to subject ourselves to such a headship. We adore him as a Lord, and we take him as our authority. We enthrone him in our being and in our Christian life. And my experience this week, as I was talking with sister about this, but during the prayer meeting, so for the past, for the past like week and a half, I was with my parents, so it's kind of experienced what it was like really not being with the saints that much. I mean, I was with the saints, but not as much as normal. And I think coming back, it was just like, just kind of, I don't want to use the word lazy, but almost just like it's a little more difficult to exercise my spirit. And on Tuesday at the prayer meeting, I had my phone with me, which was a bad mistake because I was so distracted by my phone. Like, I was praying, but it was like, you know, okay, I was on Facebook. And then a couple of times the Lord was just like, you should be praying. Like, what are you doing? Like, you can go on Facebook later if you really want. Like, literally, I distinctly remember kind of what Shepherd was saying. Like, the Lord is just like, you know, like, should you be doing this? And after two times I ignored it, and I was like, whatever. But then I was like, okay, Lord, this is really bothering me now. I'll just stop. And, you know, as soon as that happened, it was just like, wow. Like, I just turned off my phone and was just, I don't know, there was just a sense of, I, you know, confessed, and I was just like, Lord, so easily distracted, but I won't bring my phone to the prayer meeting. But it was just, I don't know, just learning that at that moment I didn't take the Lord as a throne, right? Amen. And submit under his headship and under his authority. But, you know, I mean, we all make mistakes, we all fail, but the more we repent, the more we are open to the Lord, he shines on us.
Amen.
And then our conscience, you know, yesterday at the training, they were talking about the conscience, and you'll hear more about, for young people, you'll hear more about that at the Summer School of Truth. But, you know, so important to have our conscience clear so that we can really be, you know, have this life flowing. And I don't know. And also this past weekend, I was, you know, my aunt and uncle, they were meeting with the denomination, so I went with them. And this, some of you already know, but they were talking about what the meaning of the human life is, and they were going over Genesis. And there was this feeling within me, you know, because even one of the serving brothers was like, oh, after reading the Bible, I still don't know what the meaning of my human life is. And I was just like, Lord, I know. Should I say something? But it was just so hard because it was like, two of my aunts and uncles, my parents, it's just like all my family was there. And I was like, do I really have the ground to say, you know, to almost not prove, not like show that I'm better, we're not better than anybody, you know, but like, just, I felt like, who am I to say anything? But afterwards, I was kind of like, oh, I missed that opportunity to really share, you know, what we see. Like, even as young people, you know, like the ones who are just baptized, like, being in children's meeting, you guys have heard what our the meaning of our human life is, right? God's economy. But my point in saying this is, you know, even in that, sometimes in ourselves, we don't want to go preach the gospel, we don't want to share whatever, but in that instant, are we taking the Lord as the throne, right? And my point is, don't despise your youth, right? I'm still learning, I'm not saying, you know, I just said my experience, like, but with the Lord, anything is possible. We just need to let Him be the life in us.
I appreciated this picture that we see in Revelation 22 of the throne, the river, and the tree of life.
Amen.
So, let me ask you, what's the relationship between the throne and the river?
Joseph? The river comes from the throne.
Yeah. It says it proceeds, there's a river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God, right? And so I just really appreciate that because, you know, Christina just gave her experience and I had some experience, negative or positive, this week. But what does it mean to enthrone the Lord? Actually, my experience this week was, you know, sometimes maybe you get into a disagreement with your sibling, your spouse, your classmate, you know, maybe you just get into a disagreement with somebody and they say something to you and immediately either you say something back or there's a feeling inside of you, don't say that, right? And sometimes we can either ignore that feeling or we can keep that feeling, right? And I had both experiences this week. And, you know, as soon as you ignore that feeling and then you say whatever you want to say back, that there's no peace, right? There's no rest. You just, you feel worse, right? Yeah. You thought maybe you would say feel better after you said that. You don't. You feel worse. But sometimes when we say amen, because that's the Lord within us speaking, right? You say amen. I won't say that. All of a sudden, that was you enthroning the Lord, and there's a river of life proceeding out of the throne of God.
Right?
So I just appreciated that. Actually, when we're under the throne, that's when there's the river of water of life. Right? So if we ignore that feeling, there's going to be no river, right? And that river is life, right? And there was also a portion here talking about what that river looks like. You know, what is the description of the river? It's clear, it's transparent, it's bright as crystal, right? And so as we're enjoying that river, it makes us transparent. You know, sometimes we're not very transparent. People ask us one thing, and we might give them the answer, but it's only half of the answer, right? It's not the whole truth. And so that makes us opaque. Do you know what opaque means?
Yes.
It means you're not clear, right? It means there's something in you, you know? We're not clear. We're not crystal clear like the Lord. And so I just appreciate the more we say amen to the throne, the more we say, Lord, I want to learn to enthrone you, the Lord's making us more crystal clear, right? Okay, so what's the relationship between the river and the tree of life?
Tree of life is on side to side.
It's on side. It's on either side of the river, right? So actually that means when we're in the river brings us to the tree of life, right? So I appreciated that the primary matter for us, actually day by day, is to eat the tree of life. And then there's some reading in here that says, you know, every time we have a problem, it means we're not eating enough, right? So who didn't have any problems this week? Nobody, right? We all have problems, no matter how old or how young we are. There's always some sort of problem. No matter how old or how young. But I appreciate it actually. We don't pray, Lord, solve this problem. You know, like, Lord, you know, like, my parents don't understand me, make them understand. Or, Lord, my husband doesn't understand me, make him understand. That's not what we pray. Actually, we pray, Lord, cause me to eat you more. Right? And actually, the more we eat the Lord, our problems become non problems.
Amen.
And so I just appreciate it, you know, this is very practical, and actually that's what makes us the New Jerusalem, because this is a picture of the New Jerusalem, right? And so the more we say amen to the Lord, the more we drink the Lord, and the more we eat the Lord, actually He's making us exactly the same.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else going to share? Last chance. Here you go.
Show.
thoughts. Yeah, praise the Lord. I just really enjoyed that the New Jerusalem is not something like objectively in the future, but it's related to our subjective, personal experience today. And I was just really enjoying this river of water of life that flows out from the throne of God. And, you know, this whole matter of just, you know, we just need it in order to have this river flow through us, right? And what does this river do? It keeps us supplied, right? It keeps us sustained. It nourishes us, right? It brings us to the tree of life, right? In order to have this river kind of like continually flowing, we need to be able to enthrone God, right? You know, enthrone the Lord. Otherwise, the other saints brought up before, once you take the Lord off the throne, you know, immediately, right away, the river kind of dries up.
Yeah.
So I was just really enjoying our need just to really to learn how to enthrone the Lord. Because if you think about it, right, if the Lord's not on the throne, then there's no flow. And if there's no flow, then what is our condition? Our condition is going to be very dry. It's going to be like a desert. And, okay, so this week, sometimes when I'm stressed, I watch nature videos to like calm me down. I was watching, and like my go-to nature videos are like, you know, just the African desert. I was just, you know, I was just considering like the nature of the desert. Okay, like in the desert, there's a lack of water, right? And in the desert, all the animals, it's a struggle for them to find water.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a struggle. Like, you know, you have herds of elephants traveling miles and miles for days and days to look for water. And I mean, like, and you know, when we don't enthrone the Lord, this is our condition.
Yeah.
We're struggling to find a source of a supply, a source of nourishment. Right? And like, I was just considering, you know, I don't know, amen. So, you know, this is need for us to really know how to enthrone the Lord.
Amen.
And I was just really enjoying that the way to enthrone the Lord is just really simple. You know, we just really just need to call on His name, like,
amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and this is just something I feel like I kind of do, but I kind of like overlook the significance of it. You know, it's like, why do I call on the name of the Lord? Well, it's because, you know, I need to be saved in a certain situation. I need to like get into my spirit, so I call on the name of the Lord. But what is the mechanism of calling on the name of the Lord? When we call, oh Lord Jesus, you know, we're saying Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And right there, we're enthroning Him. We're putting Him on the throne.
Right.
Right? And as soon as He's on the throne, then this river starts to flow.
Amen.
You know, so we really, I mean, I just really appreciate how simple it is, right? You know, just to enthrone the Lord. You know, just call on His name.
Amen.
But then, you know, in practical situations, like I had several experiences too. Actually, I feel like I've had a lot of experiences where it's like, you know, somebody says something and it's like, well, you know, I kind of want to just step in and kind of say this, but, you know, there's this feeling that's saying, well, maybe you shouldn't say that. And, you know, and sometimes you say amen, you know, and then praise the Lord, you know, the river flows. And sometimes you just, it's okay. And you just say it. And then, like, by the way, it's like, you know, instant drought. And it's like you're a desert inside. It's like, what happened, right? But I just really enjoyed what Sister Pin shared, actually, you know, our need to get into the Word. Why do we get into the Word? It's really to know our Savior God, right? To kind of experience Him more, to really know who He is. And so in like a practical situation, I just realized when we're met with something, like somebody says something, my parents say something, and I just kind of want to say something back, but the Lord, you know, there's a feeling within saying, maybe you shouldn't. Just, you know, let it go. Our reaction depends on how well we know our God, you know.
Amen, yeah.
So if we realize who is saying, you know, that who is, you know, kind of sending forth this anointing, sending forth this feeling, and we recognize who He is, what He's done, you know, and like in an intimate, personal way, in a very real way, and we know who's saying this, then, you know, we're going to listen. But sometimes, you know, when we don't, you know, it's just, you know, when we kind of forget or we lose sight, you know, we kind of disregard it. So this is why we really need to get into the Word.
Amen.
This is why we really need to spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
So we can really get to know Him. And when we get to know Him, it's just so much easier to enthrone Him.
Amen.
Right? You're not going to say, like, you know, if some guy who you think is a peasant You're not going to say, you deserve to be king, you know? You need somebody with credentials.
Yeah.
And the only way you can really get to know somebody who's really qualified for this position is to really get to know them. So I just really amen this burden. You know, we really need to get into the Word, to really get into the Word. Why? So then we can enthrone the Lord, right? And once He's enthroned, then this river of life will just flow.
Amen.
So praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, this portion of the Word this week, what I enjoyed is... and all the sharing, you know, it's the throne of God and of the Lamb. Why is it of God and of the Lamb? Why isn't it just the throne of God? Are there two thrones? Is it one throne? Or is it one throne behind another throne, superimposed? But it's one throne, right? It's God and the Lamb. It's God and the Lamb because this shows us God's desire with His relationship with man. Because you need the Lamb for redemption.
Yeah.
So God desires from the very beginning, not only is it authority, but God desires to reach man through redemption.
Yeah.
Then out of the throne, I very much enjoyed what Esther shared, you have proceeds out, what? The river and then the tree. Our need today really is to eat and to drink.
Amen.
In everything we do.
Yeah.
Because... you know, as we go through human life, there's so many things we try to figure out the problem on our own, right? You know, this past week, I had something happen, you know, where, I wonder why the Lord puts me in these situations. and then I look back and I realize it's because He wants me to eat more. You know, this week it's been going on for a while. You know, we hired a professional to do some work about something. To take care of something, and then I found out this guy stole money from me, and it was a large sum of money, right? So what are you gonna do? I found out, and now I have proof. What are you gonna do? So you want to go get him, right?
Yeah.
So I get an attorney, and I'm all ready to clobber the guy, and I have a meeting with him and everything, and he's a big weasel. So he's giving all these excuses. But the bottom line is, you pull out the paper, you see, your name's on the front and the back of the check. You stole the money. And then he didn't know what else to do because I got him by the neck, right? But now what are you going to do with him? Now that you got him by the neck and he realizes that and he's going to, he admits it, right? Because he can't not admit it because it's in black and white.
Yeah.
What do you do? So do you go and crucify him to try to crush him and take his license away and all this stuff? Or what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I turn to the Lord and I say, Lord, give me wisdom, you know, like Solomon. I mean, let me split the baby, you know. give me some wisdom. And I prayed to the Lord, you know, but like the wisdom came.
There's no wisdom that came. Right. Lord didn't give me any particular word.
And then I realized, as I went through this experience, I realized the Lord puts us in all these different situations. And it's unique for each of us, right? Because He knew what I had to go through. It's different than what you have to go through. It's different than what you have to go through. He just knows by that situation that He puts us in.
Yeah.
And that situation, we need to eat.
Amen.
If we don't eat, we don't experience.
Amen.
We don't experience the throne. And we can't experience His relationship with man.
Yeah, right.
His desire to put His life into man.
Okay.
His desire to make us all individual and corporate New Jerusalem.
Right.
And so our unique desire and need is to eat and to drink.
Okay.
It doesn't solve the problem per se. The problem is still there, right? As I ate and drank the Lord more, the guy still stole from me. It happened. It didn't go back. Right? And the problem didn't disappear.
Right.
But there is a supply there.
Amen.
And there is a certain clarity from within of what to do.
Wow.
Because God desires us to eat and drink Him.
Amen.
So, what does that mean? Just like Sister Bing said, I think it begins, number one, in the morning. I enjoy this very much. Okay, it says here, right? Every morning after rising up, we need to say, this is on day three at the bottom, Lord, thank you for a new day for me to take you as my Lord.
Amen.
I subject myself under your headship for the whole day.
Amen.
Lord, set up your throne in my life.
Amen.
Set up your throne in the center of my being.
Amen.
Lord, bring my whole day with my daily life under your throne.
Amen.
So we have to come, because if we don't come, we can never experience the tree and the river. We can never experience. So we first have to come. But after we come, well, we get distracted. The day goes on. Then what? Then we have to keep eating by reading the Word.
Yeah.
Amen.
We have to come back.
Amen.
Because if we don't, then it's good to have the desire, but then we have no supply.
Yeah.
So it comes together. If we never come, we'll never get the supply. But then after we come, we need to get the supply.
Yeah, man.
All right, so brothers and sisters, may we all practice this week. Number one, let's come to the Lord.
Amen.
Let's set up every morning to say, Lord, I want your throne in my life.
Amen.
And then let's not forget, as the day progresses, Lord, I want to eat your word.
Amen.
I need to eat you more because this is my unique need.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah, we have such a rich ministry. I was really appreciating this. Just when, right when I came to this, I was like, wow, what a ministry we have. We're actually going to go and have a whole morning revival with all the people in the church in Piscataway on the New Jerusalem in Revelation. Not many places can you have such a speaking. You know, as Christina was sharing, she kind of had an experience of going to denomination, and they didn't have the realization of why man was made, what's the meaning of human life. You know, so I was just so impressed that, you know, we have a ministry that we can actually have all the members speaking on the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And it's something actually practical. When most people come to this book of Revelation, they think of, they kind of get straight away. Like, oh, they see like seven eyes, they see dragons, they make movies on it, they make books on it, they make a ton of money off it. But when we come to it, we, like, I really appreciate it. Shepherd brought us to that, the very first, right? The very first verse, signs. We see that this whole book is just a book of signs. So I was just enjoyed by just that in itself this week. I was like, wow. What I was just appreciating that all of us can see this and see it in a clear way. And actually, we actually see that this book actually relates to our practical everyday life.
Yeah.
Like our brother, right? He has some crazy situation, but he's able to bring this practically to his everyday Christian life.
Amen.
because of such a rich ministry.
Amen.
And actually, when the brother opened this message, he brought up a verse, and I wanted to read it. Psalms 119. He says, 119:18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So I just, you know, when we continue to go through this week, you know, this is pretty high messages. Sometimes you could say, oh my gosh, New Jerusalem, Revelation. We just pray, Lord, open my eyes.
Amen.
Open my eyes to what you want me to see in this particular week. I think every week we should try to get one nugget. This whole week, you know, let's try to get one thing. All of us. I think next Lord's Day, I think we should all aim to share. There is some kind of deadness, like, no, I shouldn't say deadness, but a little quiet time in this meeting. I think next week would be really good if we can all aim to share just one thing, even if it's small. I enjoy, Ethan shared, right? Ethan shared about his the songs, right? I had the same experience actually this morning. When I go to work every morning, I listen to NPR, and I'm like, I'm getting all my news, update on New York, and all this culture, and I'm like, yes, I love it. I eat it up, right? And then, but this morning, actually, because I didn't have much gas in my car, I was like, I'll worry about gas. So I took Carolyn's car, and Carolyn's car had hymns. I was like, amen. I was expecting to turn on the car. I always hear like the same voices, you know. And then I turn on the car, it actually shook my being. I was like, so I'm so used to hearing NPR in the morning. But as soon as I got in the car, I heard the hymns. Like, it really enlivened me. Like, seriously, it enlivened my spirit. I was like, amen. I have a wonderful wife. Listen to the hymns. So yeah, I just really appreciated again just how much how we can relate this all to our life, And again, I wanted to reiterate what Shepherd said again. The brother opened up and he said the burden of the whole conference is the first Roman numeral. So I think every week when we go through this these next morning revivals, we should always go back to week one. Read that. I think that's going to be what I'm going to do. Every week, next week, before I read the next morning revival portion, I'm going to go back to Roman numeral one, read it. Maybe we could pray a little bit and see that this is the burden. We should see this in every single message. So I'm going to read it again, the burden. Every believer should be a little New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And every local church should be a miniature of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
The great God-man.
Amen.
With Christ as the centrality and universality.
Amen.
So we should continue to have this in the back of our mind when we read next week's morning revival.
Amen.
So we just really need to allow the Lord to shine in us so that we would see this in every single message.
Amen.
Now I just wanted to close with these A, B, C, D right underneath that. It says, the vision of eternity is the vision of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
The life of eternity is the living out of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Here, the brother mentioned that, you know, a lot of people, we think of going to heaven or we're going to the New Jerusalem, right? Actually, we're becoming the New Jerusalem. And then C, the work of eternity is the working out of the New Jerusalem. And the D, God has put eternity in man's heart.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord that we really know the meaning of our human life.
Amen.
We know that there's a gap in our being that's it's seeking something eternal.
Yeah.
And this is what our Christ is fulfilling.
Amen.
So may we just continue to enjoy these wonderful messages in the next coming weeks.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord, for another week.
Amen.
Lord, to experience and enjoy you.
Amen.
Lord, we do pray this week we would have the aspects of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, we would be little New Jerusalem.
Amen.
The church in Piscataway would be a miniature New Jerusalem.
Yes.
We'd like to start each day by, oh, Lord, having you as our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, setting you as the preeminent one in our being.
Amen.
Lord, to drink the river of water of life.
Amen.
To eat you as the tree of life.
Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Lord Jesus. Yes, we would all be this miniature New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Little New Jerusalems, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we would strive for this.
Amen.
Oh, you would shine in our being.
Amen.
Shine a little more darkness out.
Amen.
Oh, more light, Lord.
Amen.
We want to be persons of light.
Amen.
We want to be persons that have this flow.
Amen.
Oh, clear as crystal.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for another week.
Amen.
And experience you.
Amen.
Lord, give us, thank you for the vision that you've imparted.
Amen.
Lord, have more of this vision.
Amen.
Lord, we want to take you as a throne.
Amen.
Lord, so we can have a flow of river of water of life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, eat of the tree of life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you.
Amen.
Lord, give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for God the Father.
Amen.
God the Son.
Amen.
God the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, we want to see you in the throne.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we want to see you face to face, Lord.
Amen.
The river of life to flow in us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, let us eat more of the tree of life every
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Coming to you.
Amen.
Lord, coming to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Lord, even to eat and drink of you.
Amen.
Lord, day by day.
Amen.
Moment by moment.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You're going to keep the books? You can pay at the book at the bookstore.
Yeah.
Or you can leave them here for next week.
Okay. Yeah.
Sixth grade brothers, I need your numbers and email, so if you guys can come to me.
And then a reminder for all the brothers, if you're participating in the Lord's Day service, the bread service, we have a fellowship from 1 to 2. So we'll start on time at 1 o'clock. Amen. We'll be right here.
So come over. I'm over here.
We'll need the email numbers. We'll need the email. We'll need the email.
They're probably not good.